Luke chapter 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Wow, that first verse is powerful. What do you believe, by the way? You know, not everybody in this building believes the same thing. Now, we probably all believe in a God. But beyond that, diversity sets in real quick. And Luke wrote not only the book of Luke, but he wrote the book of Acts. He felt a special urge to commit to writing things that you can really believe that will go the distance. Continuing reading, "Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all the things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." And then when he went to the book of Acts, he referred back to the book of Luke. He said, "The former treatise have I written to thee, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus Christ began both to do and to teach." So there was a real desire to propagate the correct faith. You may be seated. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes from the subject, battling for your faith. The Bible teaches that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I want to really ask you to think with me for a little bit. What makes up your world? What determines what we do? Why are you here today? Why do you live the lifestyle that you live? We need to ask those kind of questions because it all goes back to what we believe. God puts faith at the top of the list. He that comes to God must first believe. If Satan can shake your faith, he can shake you. Jesus said to Peter, "Satan has desired to sift you like wheat." He wants to sift you until you have no substance left. You don't know anything for sure. Until you become disillusioned and shaken and devoid of foundational faith. Now, if Satan wanted to do that to the Apostle Peter, he wants to do it to you and me. He would like to assault us from every conceivable direction, and we have never lived in a time where there is such an assault on faith as there is right now. An example, of course, is the tremendous effort to change the thinking of the world toward basic values. Right now, the homosexual agenda is powerful. It's being pushed on every form of media, and they intend to cause all of us to get used to it. They intend to break us down until we get used to those things. It's not just that. It's marriage, the sanctity of marriage. It's every facet of what is right and what is wrong. Satan is on a crusade to sift our entire nation like wheat until we would finally ascribe. I'll never forget one man who made the statement, "The only thing you can know for sure is that there's nothing you can know for sure." That was one of my teachers in school. And he claimed that was education. And, of course, I wasn't real bashful in school because I saw school as a mission field and I was out to win everybody I could. And when he said that, my hand of its own will just shot in the air. And I said, "Now, if the only thing we can know for sure is that there's nothing we can know for sure, then We can't even know for sure that there's nothing we can know for sure. I'm so glad that there was a man on this earth one time that said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I'm glad we can be free from uncertainty. But all of us here today, now let's forget who we're impressing this morning, and let's think individually of our relationship with God. Whether anybody likes what you're doing or they don't, whatever you're doing, when it's all said and done, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat. Forget what I think about your lifestyle right now or what anybody else thinks about it. What I really want to talk to you about is what God thinks about it and what your relationship with God is. Would you tune in with me for just a minute? Just lay aside everything else right now and lock in here for a minute, because I believe I've got a message that's very critical to every life here today. I'm telling you that the battleground that's going on in each of our lives is the battleground for faith. There's a chapter in the Bible that's devoted to this subject. It's Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." It's interesting that the word faith and substance is used in the same sentence. Because normally we see faith as something intangible and nebulous. But the writer of Hebrews said, faith is the substance. Now, this is substance. Have you ever been promised some money that you didn't get? That was not substance. So what I'm trying to say to you is that in the spiritual realm, our faith ultimately becomes substance. You've got to stay with me here for a minute. What we truly believe will become substance. I'm not doing very good. I'm getting very few amens on this point. But the Bible teaches that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith and hope are not the same thing. Faith is a purified form of hope. It's one thing to hope for, it's another thing to believe God that it is of certainty going to happen. And once you believe God that it is going to happen, you have the substance. I gotta preach to you for a while, because Satan doesn't want you to have the ability to believe things that you cannot see. He does not. He wants to destroy out of every one of our lives. He wants to bombard us with the trials of life. And one of the things that happens is because we don't immediately receive something, we think it's not going to happen. But if we have embraced in faith the promise, it is going to happen. Now, I'm going to come against every form of unbelief here this morning, because it's critical for us. You may be going through an incredible trial right now, and Satan may even have come to you and said, "It's not going to happen." And you have to say, "Satan, you're a liar." Because the Scripture says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I need some people behind me honking right now. If you weren't in the Bible class, you don't have a clue. But believe it or not, we live in a world, you know, Jesus actually, about our generation, said, "Shall the Son of Man find faith on earth when he comes?" He understood what the sociological conditions,
would be in our present time. The glorification of education to the point, you know, you can educate yourself into dumbness. Do you know we are so educated today that we don't even know what marriage is anymore? We even think perhaps, why am I on this? But I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to avoid these issues. We even think perhaps that two men or two women should be married. Well, cheerio, go try and see if you can have a baby. We have educated ourselves into dumbness. Doesn't nature itself teach you some things? Now, I'm coming against these things. I'm telling you, I'm not halfway against it. I am flat-footed, 100%, absolutely, irrevocably against it. Because Satan is out to whatever God says is right to say it's wrong. And we don't need to allow Satan to intimidate us. We need to intimidate Satan. I'm on the air, Brother Eddie and I, 5 days a week. And I get on this subject quite often. You know why? Because I feel the pressures of intimidation to quit talking about it. And I intend to intimidate everyone that tries to keep me from talking about it. When you have judges on the Supreme Court and on the high courts of our land that don't even know what marriage is anymore, somebody's been educated into dumbness. All right. I'll get off that. What I want to talk to you about today is what's going on in your private life. Let's forget whether anybody likes the way you live or not. Let's talk about you and God right now. I am telling you that Satan is working on your belief system. He is chipping away, whether it's a talk show on the radio, whether it's an article you read in some magazine, whether it's a book you get a hold of. He is continually coming at all of us. And he is attempting to chip away at our faith. But you are writing a story with your life. That's really what the Bible is. It's a collection of stories about people's lives and their relationship with God. Everybody here has got some kind of a relationship with God, whether it's good or bad, whether you're talking on speaking terms or whether you just don't, whether you ignore each other. I don't know. You've got a relationship. I've asked backsliders before, how do you do it? How do you live? You know what they say? I don't think about it. I just build this wall. I don't think about it. But they do think about it because you can't keep them thinking about it. It comes to you. Sooner or later, it comes to you. All of us think about it. So, right now, that's going on in each of our lives. All of us. And when it's all said and done, it won't matter that much what I impress you with or what you impress me with. What's going to matter is when I stand before my Maker, my Creator, to give an account for the talents that He has placed in my life. That's what's ultimately going to matter. And all of us, it's going to happen. It's going to happen pretty quick now. Whether it's 5 years or 10 years, I cannot tell you exactly where we are. I know about where we are, I believe, but I can't tell you exactly. But I know it's close. So consequently, here we are, and Satan knows it's close. You know, the Bible says Satan is going to have an end time blitz. The Bible actually says, woe be to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for Satan cometh down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. So when his time's almost up, and he got fooled when Jesus came the first time. One day the demon screamed out at Jesus and said, I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. Why hast thou come to torment us before the time? He knew Jesus was 2,000 years early. But he didn't know why. He was confused. When you get confused, you do the wrong thing. Satan did the wrong thing when he put Jesus to death. Because when he put Jesus to death, Jesus walked out of that grave 3 days later with the keys to Satan's house. That's a whole other sermon that I don't have time to preach here today. But Satan was confused because he did not understand what the time was. He got confused. He's not confused right now. He knows that it's the end time. He's watching it all wrap up. And he is in his end time mode here this morning. Now, I just got to be convinced, though, where sin does abound, grace will much more abound. I mean, you can talk about all the problems and everything else, but I'm so happy to tell you the Bible says that while the Antichrist is corrupting many by flatteries, the people that do know their God are going to be strong and they're going to do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. And so, we are on a raging battlefield here today. You can't see it with your physical eye, but it's going on in every heart and every life in this building today. All of us are participants, all the way from this house to the White House, all around the world. Everybody's a part of this huge battlefield that we're on. And at the core of everything is a battle for what we believe. It's a battle of faith. The Bible says fight the fight of faith. And in so doing, lay hold on eternal life. If the devil can get to what you believe, he'll get you. Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail thee not. Because Satan wants to sift you until you don't amount to anything. Until you have no backbone, you have no foundation. You're just blown with every wind of doctrine that comes along. That's Satan's goal in our lives. But the book of Luke said, I have set forward things that are most surely believed among us. And that's the reason we don't need to get sloppy doctrinally. We need to keep preaching the Bible. We need to keep preaching the Bible. And we don't need to jump around scriptures that make us a little bit uncomfortable. We need to just go straight down to the heart of them. And if we don't quite agree with them, guess what needs to change? It's not time to rewrite the Bible. It's time to conform to God's Word. Okay. Now, if we're going to beat the Baptists to dinner, I have to hurry. I'm talking to you about battling for your faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, there are many heroes of faith. And if you want to read their life story, you can. The most prominent of them all was Abraham. He was called the father of the faithful. And he went through this incredible experience of raising a knife over his promise. A promise that he had believed for so long, and then he had received, and now God said, I want it back. You know about whipsawing your faith. Talk about blowing hot and cold. You talk about dilemma and confusion. That was going on in Abraham's life. However, the wonderful thing was, the Bible says, he staggered not. In the midst of a very fluid and fickle world, thank God for steadfastness. But what I want to really focus on in the little bit of time that I've got left, by the way, I've got as much time as I need because I pastor here. But in the time that I have left, I want to talk to you about Moses. And I want us to just sort of walk with Moses through his life and see his faith. Because the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused. You know, sometimes you've got to make decisions. And sometimes you've got to refuse to do some things. When he came of years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Moses was a faith child because Moses was supposed to die as soon as he was born. But he happened to have a mother and apparently a father, but the mother was most predominant. Jochebed was her name. And let me tell you, ladies, don't ever let the devil tell you you cannot be a force. Because this Bible is full of people, women of faith, who changed their world because they were steadfast in their faith. So don't ever let the devil tell you you cannot do that. You can do it. Well, Moses was born. The decree of Pharaoh is, and all male children have to die. Now, the part of the story we don't read much about is all the hundreds of Hebrew women that took their babies dutifully down because it was the law and threw them to the crocodiles and walked away. People who caved to the system. Now, the system is in your life and mine. The pressures are all here. We all feel them. But our faith can overcome the facts that people say we have to observe. And Jochebed said, I'm not doing that. Because I've read in Scripture where we're only going to stay down here 400 years and then we're going to be delivered. And I've checked my calendar and we're close to the fulfillment of that promise. And if we kill all the boy babies, who's going to lead us out of the bondage of Egypt? And so somehow in her heart, she had faith to believe what everybody told her was impossible. You got to do this. Pharaoh says you have to do this. And she said, but God says there's going to be a deliverance. And we're not going to stay in this situation forever. Sometimes you cannot accept the situation you find yourself in. Sometimes you've got to say, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to succumb to all the pressures that we're involved in our world. I'm going against the tide. I'm preaching to somebody today. Right now, you're on a journey. Moses went on a journey in his life. And every major decision he made, he had to make it by faith. Because faith will create a new reality. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Oh, I see so many people, they've trashed all their dreams. They've accepted you can't have it. And so they've settled for something inferior or less. But I'm telling you, the end time church of this hour is going to rise to the occasion because some people are unwilling to flush their visions and their dreams that God has given them. How do you look at a nation of slaves and say, we're getting ready to walk out of here? No resources, no swords, no organization. How do you do that? You do it by faith. So, by faith, Jochebed wove an ark. What a pathetic plan. That was a pathetic plan. She wove a little ark of bulrushes and waterproofed it. Stuck in the river. I'm going to save my son. He's going to grow up out there in that little boat. I mean, it only made sense to a woman. Now you're laughing. I did not mean that derogatory. Women think different. My wife knew she was going to marry me way before I got informed about it. She instinctively knew it. I had to figure it out. You all see all the knowing smiles on the faces of these women right now I'm looking at. You all just sit there smugly. Yes, you're right. We know these things. Well, anyway. So she puts that out there by faith. And when faith kicks in, God kicks in. He has to. He has to. He has to. I didn't say he might kick in. I didn't say 99% of the time he will kick in. I'm telling you that when faith comes, 100% of the time, God's going to kick in because faith is the substance. As long as there's someone that won't kick out. If there's a person that staggers not, and I don't like this term, but it's the only one I can think of right now, come hell or high water. If there's somebody that won't stagger, they can change the world. And we have a Bible full of proof that it does work. Because when that little feeble, make no sense effort, put that little baby out there and leave your 9-year-old daughter to watch him, height of irresponsibility. The kid's going to drown. I seriously doubt he had a life jacket on. Same tips. The deliverer's dead. But we're functioning here by faith. And God looked down and said, Pharaoh's daughter, you need a bath. You're grimy. So she goes down by the river and she's lived out in the water and she just happens to choose the place where the ark made out of bulrushes with Moses in it was. She just happened. Now God's up here. He's got a big plan. And God can put thoughts in people's minds. And He can give people urges and they don't have a clue where they're coming from. But if you think God is dead, He's alive, He's well, He's in business this morning. I'm not preaching about something that just happened 3,000 years ago. I'm telling you, the same God is alive and well today, and He still responds to faith. I love preaching on faith because the devil just, I can just see him, he starts sneaking under pews. He starts looking for exits. We have a lot of exits in this church. That makes it easy for the devil to get out. I suppose it would help him to get in too, but anyway. So, Pharaoh's daughter opens the lid, and there's that bouncing baby boy, Moses, who looks up in her eyes. You ever see what happens to a woman when they see a baby? It's like they flower. Right? I mean, it's like they suddenly become what they were supposed to be. And I see a baby. And she put that child in her arms. And she quickly knew what the deal was. And she knew her dad was on this stupid rampage killing all the boy babies. And she said, oh, it's one of the Hebrew babies. Some mother put this down here to save him. I've got to do something. And she adopted him on the spot. This is my baby. Now, us men would not do that. We would go home and diagram it and think it out, and we would figure out all the reasons why we should not do this crazy thing. It's the reason sometimes God uses women when He can't use a man. Now, you women just take it easy. God still made us the head. Don't you forget it. And make sure y'all don't take over the church this afternoon. So Moses goes to Pharaoh's palace. However, my sister's name was Miriam. Moses' sister's name was Miriam. And Miriam goes running up. And she says, would you like for me to get a nurse for him? He's going to need a nurse. And Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, please do. And Pharaoh's brother off and said, hey, mama, they need a nurse for Moses. Would you like to be the nurse for your son Moses? And before the day's over, Moses is back in his mother's arms under the protection of the palace. Amazing. How'd that happen? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm preaching to you because this is the kind of stuff that has to happen to us right now. You can defy all odds. You can change the rules through faith. By faith, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. Women received their dead to life again. By faith, they were delivered from prison from the mouth of lions. You're going to the lion's den, Daniel. I know it. But I'm coming out, too. By faith. Come on, you fleshly human beings. You got to believe with me now. Flush all that logic. Flush all that fleshly unbelief. And tap in here. Because if you're to be the instrument in the hands of God that you're supposed to be, you will only do it by believing the unseen. All right. So Moses, what do you think his mother told him? Now Moses, you're going to be raised in the palace. They're going to try to teach you a bunch of things that are not true. But you've got to remember something. There is one God. Don't ever forget it. There's one God. And she drilled him. I know he could quote it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord. Our God is one Lord. And no matter what they teach you about all of their Egyptian gods, you've got to remember. And I want to tell you something else, Moses. We've got a promise. We've got a promise that God's going to raise up a deliverer. And Moses, all the rest of the boy babies are dead. I have a feeling you're it. And that mantle of destiny settled on that child. And he went off to the palace, starts going to Egyptian school, and Satan started trying to bang away at his faith. I mean, he banged away at him, Brother Bob. He hit him from evolution and from Big Bang Theory. I'll tell you, I don't know how people... You got to have a lot of faith to believe that Big Bang Theory. I mean, here's a motor scooter and a Volkswagen. They have a head-on collision out here on US 27, and out pops a Rolls Royce. Do I? Does not compute. Tell you what, that's a lot easier to believe than the Big Bang Theory. Well, I'll get off that because I don't want you thinking about that. I want you thinking about what I'm preaching about. But I'm talking about battling for faith. Everybody here right now, what do I believe? Do I really believe you must be born again and that's the only way to be saved? Or maybe I need to reevaluate everything. Do I really believe that scripture says, follow peace with all men? By the way, are you doing that? Are you at peace with all men? You thought I was going to preach on holiness, didn't you? You should live at peace with all people. You folks all the time have a conflict with everybody. You got your genes put together wrong. You'd rather me preach on holiness, wouldn't you? Because you got your hair long. Follow peace with all men and holiness. If you're not living at peace with all men, all your holiness doesn't do you any good. Because all you got is the shadow instead of the substance. You get the substance, you'll have the shadow. All right. We're not going to beat the Baptist today. Okay. So Moses grows up in school. And Satan is assaulting his faith from every conceivable direction. Furthermore, he was a privileged child. He lived on Persian rugs, marble floors. And he had a nanny that sat beside his bed and fanned him at night until he peacefully went off to sleep. He went to sleep night after night to lullabies. He slept on satin sheets. He had his own personal jacuzzi. I mean, this kid was all rotten. He was the heir to the throne. He was given the finest of the finest of the finest of the finest. And so Satan bid higher and higher and higher and higher. But back in his brain, somehow, some way, while all of this opulence tried to engulf him and to jade his value system, he remembered. Coming up in that system, he realized, this is all empty. All this pomp, all this ceremony, I'm getting no satisfaction. This doesn't mean anything. This is all just a shell. And when he came of age, he's yearning, oh, I need God. I need reality. I need to fulfill my destiny. I can't allow life to sweep me along. I can't sell my soul to the highest bidder. I can't just move because I want to move. I just can't take a job because I want to take a job. I'm dealing with eternal values here. And so he found himself walking among, leaving the marble palace, and walking among the mud huts of slavery. And he probably heard his brethren in slavery singing their hymns as they worked. And there was something about that that made his thirsty soul reach out like a dry sponge. Because all he had was the jangling music of Egypt. Be careful what kind of music you get addicted to, by the way. Every music has its own spirit. And the spirit of the music is determined by the one who wrote it and the one who arranged it. And when you open your heart to those people, you open your heart to their spirit. Just a thought. As we saw the hard to beat, I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its waves that reach the throne of God are sweeping over me. It's awful hard to beat that. That one was written out of 7 days of solitary confinement by G.T. Haywood of prayer and fasting. Well, anyway. So Moses is going down through the huts, and his soul is so hungry. And he's feeling the wooing of God's Spirit saying, come on, I got something for you. And he goes down and he walks among them. And he found something there that he could not find in the royal palace that he was used to. And he saw values there. I do not know. The Bible doesn't tell us whether his parents were still alive by the time he was 40 or not. I don't know. I would like to think they were. I would like to think he went by his parents' home and he slipped inside. Hi, Mom. How you doing, Moses? You staying true to God? You remember what I taught you? Are you selling out? Are you conforming to the world? Or are you holding fast? Do you still believe? Now, I'm preaching about what's going on in every life here today. Every one of us, our heart's a battleground. And Satan is probing you and trying to tear down your faith. But if you can hold your faith by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I am not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I am an Israelite. I am not an Egyptian. I don't belong in this world. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm an Israelite. I'm a one God Israelite. I know what that world's out there like. I've been on their television programs. I've had them dangle their offers in front of me. 25 million viewers. And
I know what it's like to be broadcasting to most of this nation. And the owner of the station's wife, who listens to our program every day in Dallas, say to me, "Now, Urban, don't you believe all the churches coming together is a sign of end-time revival?" Live. And they're all waiting on me to answer. And I believe all the churches coming together, like she's talking about, is a sign of the one world church that's heading straight towards the arms of the false prophet. So what do I say? Do I say that to her? What I said was, well, actually, there are two movements in this world. One movement is going back in the ecumenical movement based on compromise to the one world religion. But there's another movement being born of people that are going back to the Bible and true biblical Christianity. And so there's really two movements, not one, and this is the one we want to be a part of. Whew, glad I thought of that. But I know what that appeals like. Because she says, "I listen to you every day." And they got the power to put us on there every day. And they may decide to do it someday. But if they decide to do it, I don't want it ever to be on the basis of compromise. I want to make sure that if I'm in Egypt, I still know who I am. So, trying to wrap up. So Moses, he grows. It's time to go down and deliver the children of Israel, he thinks. He's got an awful lot to learn. First thing he does wrong is violate what he's been taught. Thou shalt not kill. He killed an Egyptian. You don't ever accomplish God's purpose by doing wrong. He killed that Egyptian. But now, he's crossed the line. Now, he's made a decision. And it was a good decision. I know who I am. I'm going to fulfill God's call upon my life. He's back the next day now. He's on a roll. And this day, he tries to separate two Israelites that were arguing. And they were not very spiritual. One of them was a big smart aleck. "Oh, you're going to kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday?" And Moses ran for his life. Now, the reason I'm preaching this is because some of you are going to find yourself somewhere. All of us are on a journey. All of us. You're on a journey right now. You're writing a story right now in your life. And Moses found himself on the backside of the wilderness for 40 years. Well, that's not the, that's not the glamorous time of life. It's your desert time. Especially if you think you're just about ready to make your debut, and you really realize you just made your exit instead. "Oh, I thought I was ready. I thought it was my time to shine." Nope, it's your time to vegetate for 40 years. Oh, God, don't tell me that. I won't tell you. I'll just let you do it one day at a time. And so he gets on the backside of that desert for 40 years. But here's the good side of the story. Somehow, he never surrendered his faith. The only faith he lost was faith in himself. And that's the faith he had to lose in order for God to be able to work through him. It took, it takes us a long time to lose faith in ourselves sometimes. It takes a lot of failure sometimes before it finally seeps through our thick skull. "I can't do it." I will tell you something today. If God doesn't do it, it won't be done. Now, God does want to use us. Yes, He does. But He only wants to use us if He's going to get all the glory. I made a deal with God many years ago. He kept reminding me He wanted the glory. He's just that way. That's the way He is. He wants the glory. And I said, "Okay, God, but it seems fair to me, if you get all the glory, you also should take the blame. Because I can't stand to give you all the glory and me take all the blame. It's not working for me. It's grinding me down." So we made a deal. He gets all the glory, he gets all the blame, and I'm happy. You say, "That's not right." Oh, really? Read your Bible. The Bible says He's able to present us blameless. before the throne of His glory. Now, let me tell you something, Brother Truman. I don't believe in my wildest imagination that in my own sight, I will ever be blameless. That means He's going to have to sort of cut me some slack. He's going to have to give me some grace. If I'm going to show up, and He's going to say, blameless. The devil's going to show up and say, he did this, this. God's going to say, blameless. Because there's a scripture that says, blessed is the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Man, that's powerful. I love that scripture. That's my scripture. I've got to have that one. Okay. Let's see if I can draw it to a close here. I'm trying. I'm talking about your battle for your faith. Satan's chipping at you. You know, if you're a young Christian, your faith is fairly shallow. Doesn't mean it's not good. Doesn't mean it's not going to be great. But you don't build a huge foundation of faith overnight. You build it one day at a time. But if you'll be faithful, God will make you everything He wants you to be. Finally, 40 years later, Moses walks into Pharaoh's palace. They knew who he was. This is the renegade who was supposed to be ruling this country. He's here to take over now. No, I'm not. I'm here to leave. I'm taking God's people with me. Egypt's not my home. I'm just passing through. This was a temporary stop. 400 years shall you sojourn in the land, after which I will bring you out with a mighty hand. I've got a prophecy, I got a promise, and I got my faith. With nothing but a stick. See, I'm not qualified. Once you say that, you're qualified. If you've got some faith. And if you can believe God could deliver an entire nation with nothing but a stick. Don't worry about God. He can make something out of nothing. He stood on nothing and said, let there be light, and the lights came on. So don't worry about God. All He says is, shall I find faith on the earth when I come? If God said it, believe it. If the devil bars you with every reason why it's not going to come fast, ignore him. Believe it anyway. Because if you say, I can't see anything, you don't need to see anything, because faith is the substance of things hoped for.